A capacity is somebody's ability to hold what is said or to deal with the circumstances around them. If a person doesn't have the capacity to hear what is said, it's like pouring water on pavement. Yeah, it's just going to go away and it's going to do no good at all. So we have to really be careful about people's capacities. Sometimes believers, if they are self-righteous and arrogant, they will say things saying, "I don't care what your capacity is, I'm just going to say it because that's the way it is and that's what I think and I'm just going to say it." God calls that kind of a person a fool. In Proverbs it says that a fool is wise in his own eyes. A fool is wise in his own eyes. That person, this is the person who does not consider the hearer when he speaks. What does it do for that person's capacity? Does it build and edify, or does it tear down and destroy? When we speak, we have to be very careful about that. We think that the words are irrelevant because we don't actually know what kingdom we're of. We don't know the spirit we're of, and we don't recognize that the words are actually very potent and can be extremely destructive. Like society tells you, "Oh, don't worry about what people, sticks and stones," right? I wish I could really kind of drive this home, and actually, like you guys, I think are really good this way, but even in my own heart, I wish I could like drive this home, the importance of right words, of watching careless words. Even if I think I'm right, the importance of watching my words. You see, my words won't transform somebody. They're not capable of it. Only the Holy Spirit. I can criticize somebody and call it constructive if I like all day long, but the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to change who they are. My words won't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. An anointed word is a word that the Holy Spirit is in. So I have to have an anointing if I say something. Actually, I have an anointing, every bullet, but I have to manifest that anointing when I say something. Because otherwise, what I am saying is destructive. Even if I think I'm correcting someone, I'm actually not. I'm taking them to the good side of the tree, and I'm taking them beyond their capacity, perhaps. So I want to be sure that when I speak to people that I'm led by God, because God knows the contents of the heart. God knows what's in the heart and God knows why it's there. And I seldom, even with people I'm close to, like for example my wife, I know the way she thinks. I know like how she'll respond to certain things, but still there are times when I do not know why something is there. And so I need to listen to the Holy Spirit so that I don't destroy. And this is crucial. This is absolutely crucial. Because I don't know what is in the heart at the moment, what mix of things is present, what combinations are there. And if I say the wrong words, I can actually bring in the enemy's kingdom. So I have to be really careful with my words. If I say the right words led by the Spirit, then the right words will become life to someone. And frequently they don't. Two things about the right words. They don't have to be verbose. There doesn't have to be a lot of them. The second thing is they're never loud. The right words are never loud. They are never said in anger or frustration, but they are said with the Spirit of God and the nature of who God is and His heart. God speaks in a still small voice, not in a loud, angry voice, but in a still small voice. So I have to be careful that I use words properly, because the very effect that I may desire like, let's say that I see something wrong in someone. Like, let's say I see something wrong in you. I may recognize, I may discern correctly, but if I do it through myself and my own thinking, I'll hurt you and I will destroy something in your soul. If I do it through the power of the Spirit, in other words, I am careful, I ask God, I say, God, give me wisdom. What is this? And God answers me, and all of a sudden I know the right words. An example, I don't think she'd mind my telling you this. An example would be about 4 or 5 years ago now, when my mother-in-law died. She had suffered at the hands of a nurse quite severely. This woman was cruel. And she had suffered quite severely. And my wife tried with all her ability to protect her mom. Unfortunately, her own health was very poor. And so she, by this time she was completely spent, completely drained, had nothing left. But she kept going anyway because she loved her mom. And this nurse hurt her mother quite severely, needlessly and strongly. Like, it was very painful. And my wife, like, had a difficult time with this, with the thought of this, after her mother had gone home to be with the Lord home, not out of the hospital home, but home to be with the Lord. It was very difficult for her to get past this, because she was very upset with herself and with that nurse, because she felt like she failed to protect her. And like she could, but at the same time she was like, it was unbelievable what she actually did manage to do for her mom in her condition in particular. But even not, like, the other nurses were so impressed with her. The one, I thought one nurse was particularly sweet. She said to her, "You were your mother's voice when she could no longer talk." And so she did her best, and she did a very, very good job. But she didn't manage to stop this. And she was really distraught about it. And I asked the Holy Spirit, you know, like, oh, what do I do with this? Like, how do I help her? Because nothing would console that kind of grief. And then He simply gave me, "All things are from God." And I turned to my wife and said, "You know, all things are from God." And it seemed like, at first to me, when I heard it, it seemed like almost like a cold, canned statement. But I also knew it was from the Holy Spirit. And so I said it anyway. And it completely changed her ability to deal with that. And allowed her to receive some other things from God as well. Right words. Right words. The right words are unbelievably important. The wrong words are unbelievably destructive. We get casual and familiar with our own tongue, with our own words, because we think it doesn't matter. Two things. One, it matters profoundly. So profoundly that God actually listens to every one of those words. The Holy Spirit listens to them. And we will give an account of every one of those words. The Word of God says, for every word we will give an account. Now, that doesn't mean I start getting weird or tense or something like that. What it does mean, I need to make a point of being Spirit-filled and Word-filled. And then I'll simply have the right words, because I'll be a Spirit-filled, walking in the light believer. And I simply will have the right words. And if I don't, I will be able to catch myself and, you know, back off, not say anything when I receive nothing to be said. And sometimes God will do that. Sometimes God will give nothing at all to say. So that is the one thing where it's very important, is because the Holy Spirit, God, listens, and I will give an account for those words. The other thing that is so important is that those words have a source. we are familiar, like we get familiar with one another, and we think that we can say harsh things and insulting things, and we can say critical things. We are familiar, and Satan is taking advantage of our familiarity against the other person to destroy their capacity, to destroy their soul, to destroy their walk with God. Criticism is satanic, point blank. Simple as that, there's nothing more to it. Criticism is satanic. Nowhere in the Bible did any godly man under the inspiration of the Spirit criticize anyone. Criticism is satanic. There was divine creativity. There was bringing truth in love. People say, well, I've got to bring truth in love. You're a loser. Like, you did that so bad, you know what it did. That's not truth in love. That's your flesh criticizing. Criticism is from Satan. It's it right there. The first criticism there was Satan's criticism. God didn't say that. God's a liar. Criticism. Not all criticism is an accusation, but frequently it is an accusation. And even if it happens to be factually so, it is apart from truth. This is where believers get confused very frequently. They'll say, it's factually so, so I have to say it. No, you need to pray. Because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, right? Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So are your words Christ or not? If they are not, they're not Christ. They're Satan. There are only two kingdoms, folks. We need to get this realization into our hearts, into our minds. There are only two kingdoms. There is no middle ground. I can't say I'm kind of like, I'm not in Satan's kingdom, but I'm kind of like out there. No, 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 not at all. You gather or you scatter. You're either with or against. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area. The world hates this, but there is only black and white. There is no gray. I'm not saying everything is simple, but I am saying there's only two kingdoms. And so we have to be careful, because am I gathering or am I scattering with my words? When's the last time, like in your own heart, and without being condemned, but just being honest before God, not before anybody else, when's the last time you said something harsh or unkind? Your source was Satan. When's the last time you said something edifying? Your source was God. We don't think in these terms, but this is the way it is. And God hears, He listens, and we will give an account. People think they can criticize because somehow they think they're helping. You know, the worst tyrants are the ones who are tyrannical for somebody's benefit. The most unkind people are the ones who will bring in criticism for someone's benefit. They are arrogant. They are arrogant. I cannot tell what will benefit you because I don't see the contents of your heart. Maybe I know you very well. Maybe we've spent a lot of time together. Maybe we grew up together. Maybe you're my child or my parent or my best friend or a spouse or whatever, right? And we spent a great deal of time together. And I know you very well. I still don't know the contents of your heart. I may know the way you think, but I don't know the contents of your heart. Only God knows that. But it's in the heart that those words penetrate into, the heart. I think that if believers actually believed what the Word of God says about their tongue and their words, there would be very few words actually spoken. And the words that were spoken would be carefully measured by the Holy Spirit to be well utilized. My wife has a good saying, the Holy Spirit is the least utilized resource there is. I think she's right. The Holy Spirit is the least utilized resource there is. We say things so quickly because we're arrogant and we're just a little bit stupid. We don't see things God's way. So we say things too quickly. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've done this myself more than I would like to admit. We've all been there. And there is no condemnation in it. But it is what it is. We have to be very careful with our words. Use wisdom with your words, because they can impart life or they can kill. Satan's words kill. God's words impart life. Like some of you, like for example you were very briefly heading down a very bad road, started, haven't gone far, down a very bad road. It was words, the right words, that changed your heart. God's words. Words that were spoken in the anointing of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit change a heart. Words that are spoken carelessly and cruelly get you down that bad road. It was both by words that you went down, if I remember correctly what you told me about it. It was the wrong words that sent you there and the right words that took you out of there. Words. Words, very important. Words. Because of the wrong words, you didn't believe in God, you said. Because of the right words, your life was restored. Words. We have to be very, very careful, very measured, thoughtful before God as to what the Holy Spirit is saying before we dare speak. Think about this for a moment. Like, would anyone here agree that we live before God? Like, show hands, we live before God. Yes, we live before God. Would anybody say, I don't live before God? Okay, you live before God. What words will you choose as you live before God? Right? What words will you choose as you live before God? Be careful to make sure they're His words. Because apart from His words, what is it that you are speaking in God's presence? What is it that's coming out of your heart in God's presence? You cannot escape His presence. Psalm says there is nowhere you can go from His presence. If you die, you will still not escape His presence unless you go into hell. There is no escaping His presence. And the believer can never get out of it. And the unbeliever can only get out by one means. So what is it that we are willing to utter before God? Right? Imagine if you were standing, and this is a very small comparison. Imagine if you were standing, say, before the Queen of England. She's here, and somehow you got an invitation, and you're before her. What words, what type of words would you use? Would you be careless with your words? Well, that's just a human being. Another sinner just like me. It's just another human being. She happened to be born into a family that happen to have a certain type of job. But she's just another being. But how careful people would be with their words. But what about God who created the universe, who is the King of Kings? He's not just a king, he's the King of all kings. He makes or takes away, he makes or destroys kings. What words would you speak before him? Well, a lot of people would be very cautious with their words and probably wouldn't need to say anything at all, just a handful of very well chosen, polite words to the Queen of England. But before God, they will let their tongue loose. And all kinds of hell breaks out through that tongue. Those words are so important. Because we speak before a throne. If I am arrogant with my words, God sets himself into an organized program of opposition against me, and I'm a believer. And he'll oppose me anyway. And if I doubt that, then he will show me quite quickly how wrong I can be. Please be careful with the way that you use your words. Many, many people use them very carelessly, apart from wisdom, and they are very destructive. And they reveal their own heart. They reveal their own heart by those words. They don't reveal anything about the person who hears them. Although our attitude, maybe we get mad or arrogant or we get this attitude and we lash out at somebody and we like show them our frame of reference and somehow we think, oh, I got you. No, what you've done is you've showed the contents of your own heart. That your heart is wrong before God and you need to get right before Him. Humble yourself before the Lord. Get on your knees. Apologize to that person. Get on your knees before God and humble yourself. If I don't, God sets himself into a program of opposition against me, the believer who's careless and arrogant in his disposition and his words. You live before God. You speak before God. You have spoken it to God in your heart once. You have spoken it to God when it leaves your mouth. You are in Him, so it must get to Him. And you've spoken it to God a second time if you're speaking to a believer as it gets to them. Because it has to go through, they are in Christ, so you know, the Christ they are in. And you've spoken it to God a fourth time, the God in their heart. Four times I speak to God for every word that I utter. Four times. I curse someone, four times I've cursed God. I'm unkind to someone, four times I've been unkind to God. Why do you think that Levi repaid everybody fourfold? Because four times it was done to God. If I am kind, I am kind to God four times. If I edify God four times. If I love someone, I love God four times. I have to have the right words. 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 Words are important. Anyway, that's just a thought.